As promised, we start our number two by having a conversation with a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports College Podcast. Pete Thamel is my guest. Pete, good to have you back. How you doing?
Hey, Jim, I'm great. Good to be in the jungle in these uncertain times.
No, great to have you in the jungle, Pete, during these uncertain times. Really good to visit with you. So we're in late March right now, Pete, and in any other year, March Madness is underway. Spring football also would be underway. You've got a piece up right now about what college football coaches are thinking about and what they're doing. Overall, as you've spoken to coaches, what was your sense as to how they're handling all of it?
Yeah, you know, Jim, it's funny. I got a piece coming out later this week on Yahoo about first-year coaches and sort of like what they're dealing with. A lot of them don't even have like houses in their cities yet, and just how they're kind of trying to live and arrange. And there's a few different buckets of coach concerns, I guess. The first one right now is academic, and obviously health and safety of their players is first. Let me be very clear about that. Kids have had to scatter campuses. There's obviously a lot of concern for players who go home, and are their families safe? Do they have the right nutrition, et cetera? But in terms of like long term, the future of college sports, et cetera, there's significant academic and financial reverberations that are going to come out of this. And the immediate academic ones are, if you're a high school senior who is a borderline qualifier in terms of getting your core courses in your ACT or SAT, your opportunities to bolster your academic status are going to be very limited. Obviously, the standardized tests in the immediate future have been canceled. It's hard to imagine many, if any more, being scheduled at least to be taken in a traditional classroom setting. So how's the NCAA going to handle, or are they going to give blanket waivers to kids? Are they going to give more leniency to kids who would have academic issues? So that was very front of mind for coaches, and they felt like that hadn't been discussed enough in all this. And then there's obviously the current students who are sort of on the edge right now academically, Jim. How are they going to get eligible and get by? And then there's really big picture financial questions that are looming over all of this. And a lot of them are related to the question no one wants to ask, which is, what if there's no football in the fall? And if there's no football in the fall, the fiscal reverberations from that are just going to be devastating for the college athletics landscape.
We were talking to Pete Thamel. So to that point, Pete, like, universities make a lot of money off food and housing. So if they're not having that kind of revenue, and they're not having the revenue that comes from the NCAA tournament, how bad a spot are some schools in right now?
Well, I think they're going to be in really difficult positions. I mean, think about this, Jim. Of the Power Six basketball leagues, there have been zero coaches fired this year. And a lot of that is because there's places that are going to have a difficult time trying to get people. The people who write big checks are the people who are heavily invested in the market, and they're all down 30-something percent right now, or somewhere in that neighborhood. So, and you can't rely on your campus to bail out athletics, because campuses are really going to be going through a financial drain. If refunds have to be given for housing, if refunds have to be given for food. One thing I didn't realize is just how much universities make year to year from room and board and from dining services. It's a large chunk of what schools are doing. I had a source tell me that schools are going to now be admitting more students than they normally do, because they, you know, assuming there's traditional college as we know it next fall, there's going to be maybe people more hesitant to go. Like, this is going to just, you know, ripple through our lives in so many different ways, and a lot of those ways are being felt at the bottom line on college campus.
Pete Thamel is joining us once again. All right, Pete, so the ADs themselves are extremely busy because they have to deal with every team that's impacted right now, but what about the football coaches specifically? What are they doing right now?
They've stayed busy too. Like, I talked to Jeff Traylor, the UTSA coach, today, and he said he has 10 calls with current players every day, 10 calls with recruits every day. It's a dead period, so the recruits have to call him. And then 5 calls with boosters, 5 calls with administrators, 5 calls. He said he had 35 calls baseline every day. So they're doing that. But coaches are antsy. The first-year coaches are interesting, Jim, because they don't really know their programs yet. Like, they don't know their kids. Like, they know their names and they've been around them, but they don't really have like a deep connection. So Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri told me today, I said, what's worse, the inability to get to know your kids or the inability to practice. And he's like, that's like asking you if you'd rather amputate my arm or my leg.
Right.
So it's tough in a, lot of ways for these coaches, just because the ones who are in better shape are the ones who, you know, are in their third or fourth year. The losing spring practice doesn't mean a lot if you're still going to be running the same version of cover two, right? So, or you have a quarterback coming back like Sam Ellinger at Texas. They're still going to be running, you know, primarily the same offense. So, in a lot of ways, it's coaches are busy depending on, you know, where they are within within the build of their program.
Pete Thamel is joining us. So, Pete, what are the rules right now as it relates to football practices and recruiting at the moment?
So basically no one's going to have spring practice. And if that has not been formally declared by everyone, it's an inevitability. The places where the rules, there's some vagaries are in terms of like football related activities. Some coaches I've talked to said they can go on, you know what Zoom is, Jim?
Sure.
Like
yes.
The video conferencing software, which has certainly entered the mainstream football coach vocabulary in the last 2 weeks. So some position coaches can hold meetings on Zoom. They can have team meetings on Zoom. Other leagues, everything isn't quite mandatory. So, I'm sorry, in other leagues, there's nothing mandatory. So some coaches have told me they're doing tutorials, they're posting them sort of on the internal servers and systems. Like, this is what we would have installed in practice 8 on offense. And that installation is there and available for the players to watch at their leisure in a non-voluntary manner. So, of course, these are football coaches, and they're all paranoid. So everybody's worried that everybody else is getting the edge. And the other facet that's interesting, Jim, is strength coaches. There's a big worry of safety, quite frankly, first of all, right? These kids are, you know, we hope come back in the summer and eventually have to get back in shape to play a football season. It's hard to imagine some of that timeline is not going to be compressed just when you look at the charts and the way this thing's going. So how do you get kids to work out? A lot of them don't have workout equipment. So you have to do sort of full body workouts at home by yourself. And so there's a big onus on the strength coaches. Now, in terms of recruiting, kids can't go to campuses, but coaches are getting on the phone with kids, and that's where of the probably dozen head coaches I've talked to in the last 4 or 5 days, that's where most of their energy is going right now. Okay, we can't do anything hands-on. Let's build relationships with these recruits. Let's get to know them. Let's get in front of them. Let's, you know, be efficient with our time and use it that way.
You know, if I can, Pete, I'll double back to the recruiting in a minute, but I want to follow up on one point you made. Can there be a fall season without any practice over the summer? I mean, can teams just show up in August and still safely play in the fall?
I mean, with a camp or without a camp?
Without.
Oh, no way. I mean, you just can't. That would just be a huge safety risk to not have any kind of practices to get these kids in shape. I think that would be a hard no on that. There would have to be a minimum, and I don't know. I'm not a doctor or any kind of medical specialist, but you're putting people in harm's way if you're not allowing them, I would say, multiple weeks to get in shape. Like, forget the strategy stuff and forget all that. Like, you need – I talked to a Power 5 AD this week who basically said his biggest priority going forward, and not just for football but for all the sports, is, like, you know, making sure – mechanisms are in place so kids are in physical shape for the safety of everything. And look, I'm not a doctor and I'm not going to pretend to be, but I would have to think for practices to happen, never mind stadiums full of people, never mind campuses coming back with students, which again are all antithetical to what we're learning, helps suppress this virus, but just for, you know, 85 football players and then 50 or so staff members to conduct a college football practice. To me, and again, I don't know anything about anything, I would think all these kids would have to be tested. Because if you bring everybody back and then one person tests positive for the coronavirus, you got to quarantine everybody for 2 weeks and all the progress is. So I would think that. And look, I was watching CNN yesterday like everybody else. And, you know, there's lines of hundreds of people outside emergency rooms in New York City that, you know, can't get tested, and we're worried about testing, you know, thousands of college football players. It's just so low on the priority list right now. And I look, nobody's hoping more than me that we get there and we can have sports back and we can have football back. But there's just so many things societally right now that we need to focus on and take care of before we can have football back.
Yeah, it's interesting, Pete, because I agree with you. I agree with everything you just said, and it seems almost irresponsible to even pose the question because there's so many more pressing issues than when are we going to see college football once again. I don't even know whether or not I'm supposed to ask the question. But like, if you look at where things stand right now and the way you just laid it out, what is the earliest that you could see college football teams getting back together again? I know it's not the priority, but realistically, what is the earliest that that could happen?
Yeah, I just think it's too early to say, and I'm not the right guy to say it. Mm-hmm. So I would just say this. This is what I feel comfortable saying, Jim. If people in their mind don't think they're – people in their mind are like, oh, there'll be football this summer and this fall. Oh, that's definite. I'm comfortable saying that there's nothing definite about that. Like, we need to really – take a look at, you know, like the prospect at the very least of a fall without football.
He is a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports, co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast as well, Pete Thamel. Pete, well done. Always good to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Hey, Jim, thank you.
Thank you, Pete. I agree with him.